Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, folks, we know it's a busy time of year, but we're glad you've taken time out to tune in and turn on here today to our Faith in Your Recovery podcast. We're coming to you from a combination of being in our studio and remote to, I believe it's Mississippi, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Whereabouts in Mississippi?
I'm in Pontotoc.
Say that again.
Pontotoc. P-O-N-T-O-T-O-C.
All right. All right. We don't have a lot of those here in Indiana, okay? Thankful for that, though. All right. And our guest today is J-Truth. Welcome, J-Truth.
It's an honor to be on here.
Well, thank you so much. We're just glad that you were available and willing to join us. We'd love to have you begin by just giving us a little of your background, personally, professionally, and then we'll dig in a little deeper. But just kind of skim it here in the beginning, tell the folks what life's been about. We'll dig into some of the struggles, and of course, we're going to finish with those victories. So go ahead for us.
Oh, well, my mom and my dad, they went to federal prison when I was younger. So my grandmother raised me, and so I kind of got to do what I wanted to do a little bit, you know, being a grandma's boy. And my sister, she went with my mom's mother, and I stayed with my dad's mom, which I called my mama. And we had a great bond. Everything was real good. And my mom, she came home. And when she came home, I didn't want to tell her that I didn't want to live with her because I knew it would hurt her feelings. So I would lie and tell her I wanted to live with her. And then I really wanted to go with my grandmother. And it was just started at a real small age of
How old were you at that time?
I was probably about 8 or 9.
Okay. Certainly the adolescent years.
Yes, sir. And they go to court. It all gets drawn out. My mom gets me. But I wasn't happy there, but I didn't want to say I wasn't happy there because I didn't want my mom to get mad at me or anything. So it started just a lot of bitter being held inside at an early age. And I would lash out, you know, finally until the point to where my mom was like, hey, I had enough. You can just go back to your grandma's. So I got what I wanted, which she would let me do whatever I wanted to do as long as it wasn't just harmful. You know, she'd let me hang around with my friends as long as, you know, it was rules and regulations, though. I'd have to call in where I was. But, you know, at that point in time, I could say I'm at Joe's house and really be in the next county over. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'd have their people lie for me and like, oh, yeah, they're here. Oh, they're going to go out to the movies. And the whole time their parents are taking us out with them and drinking and smoking. So I started using drugs at an early age.
How old?
I probably started smoking weed at like 9 or 10. You know, not heavily, just, whenever I could find it, you know what I mean? And, it just progressed from there. And, I started going to juvenile detention centers. I'd go to juvenile detention centers, get in trouble at school, get kicked out of school. And I was trying to fill that God spot with the drugs or women or just trying to fit in, be cool, you know, just like everyone else. You know, you want to be cool, you want to be part of the clique, you know, and just be seen. And it took me down a dark path is what it did. It took me down a dark road, and I ended up going to prison at a real early age. At that, by the time I was 15 years old, I have committed so many crimes.
What kind of crimes, J-Truth?
Breaking and entering, theft, drugs, possession.
Was the theft and the breaking and entering in order to get merchandise to fence so you could get your drugs?
That's exactly what it was. It was all just a combination of me going down the wrong road trying to get these drugs, you know, so I would do whatever I had to do. Stole from my mom, my grandma, lied to whoever. The ones that loved me the most was the ones I hurt the most. And that's just how it was.
Unfortunately, usually that's the case because we know they're still going to love us. They're still going to be there. So we make some pretty foolish, pretty blatant decisions. But the good thing is they are there because we eventually, as we'll hear in a little while, come around and we look back to them for that seed they planted. Go ahead. Tell us more about your battle.
I always went to church. You know, my grandma, she was a very spiritual woman. My mom was spiritual. My father, everybody believed in God. My dad was a preacher at this time. And so I always knew the word, but I would only go to vacation Bible school because there were some girls there or they had food on Wednesdays and we'd go to the gym, play football, like flag football, just little church events. And I wasn't going to hear the word of God.
It was entertainment.
It was but see, getting planted.
That's the important thing. That's why you do that, to take that risk. And go ahead.
So seeds was getting planted at an early age. And as I remember the last time a juvenile, I got in trouble. We went to the mall parking lot and I broke into like 23 cars in the same 1 hour as us being there. I broke into like 23 cars. The day before that, I broke into a house, stole a bunch of jewelry and all that. And then it finally caught up with me. They was like, you know what? That's the last straw. You're going to prison. We're certifying you as an adult and you're going to prison. So I turned 16 in adult of prison. I was so young that they couldn't even put me in general population because I wasn't 18 yet. And
how long were you sentenced at that time?
At that time, it was just a 6 months read, like a boot camp thing, and 5 years probation. But it ended up being 9 months. I ended up doing like a year and a month at that time. Because, you know, you have to sit at your county jail until the bus transports you to prison. And then when I got to prison, I got held back and had to restart the program because I got into a fight. And I was still rebellious at that time. I'm like 16, 17 years old and ain't got my mind on nothing about doing right. Got involved in an organization and thought they were showing me love, but the whole time they was using me. You know what I mean? They was just using me to do the crash dummy stuff that they didn't want to do that needed to be done.
You say an organization. I'm going to ask, are we same as a gang?
Gang, same thing.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just want to be clear for our listeners.
Yes, sir. A gang.
And
got
me.
Involved in gangs. And anything I do, I give it my all. So I was giving everything that I had to it, you know. And I was moving up in ranks in this gang that I was in. And long story short, I get out, go right back. I wasn't out 7 months. I went right back. I caught another felony. And a guy had set me up told him that the drugs they found on him was mine. And the whole time it was really his, but it was his word against mine. I done been to prison. He ain't. So we both get charged with it. It was his first time. So he gets put on probation. I get sent back to prison. This time it ain't for no boot camp. It's the real deal.
For how long?
5 years. They sent me down for 5 years. I think I did like 2.5 years that time.
You're how old at this time?
17. 17. I got out when I was 19. And I always dealt with my emotions through music. I've always had a passion for music.
What was your favorite style at that time?
Eminem, Thugs and Harmony. You know, just they had a lot of emotions in their lyrics, and you could feel it whenever you heard it, you know. So that's what I liked. I liked that. And
I'm going to guess it probably helped you release your anxiety, your anger through those words that they were using to express theirs.
Yes, sir. Like I could relate to them.
Yes, yes. Okay. So you serve that time, you're out, and you're like 19, is that right?
Yes, sir. And I failed three drug tests and went back again. That would be the third time. Got out again, stole a car, went back. That's my fourth time. My fifth time was a possession of a controlled substance, crystal meth. Got out, went in for the sixth time. And another possession charge, and I cut my ankle bracelet off. So I go back for the seventh time. And little did I know during all this time. So we'll retract. On my fourth time, my grandma ends up dying on me in prison while I'm in prison. And it hurt me a lot. You know, I gave up completely then on everything and just didn't care anymore. You know, didn't call on God or none of that. But during these times that I'm in prison, each stint, I would always get in trouble and I would be placed in solitary confinement. And the only thing you can have in there is a Bible. And I remember reading and reading and reading and reading. That's the only thing I could do was read the Bible. So I would get interested in the stories of Job. You know, I would get interested in Paul. I loved every letter Paul's wrote. You know, he was in prison in a lot of them, so I could relate. Even though I wasn't applying the word to my life and taking action at that time, it was still being wrote in my heart this time.
Yes. You know? That planning was taking place.
Yes. And seven in the Bible marks the number of completion. So I believe that, you know, as I was in there, and that was my completion, is the Lord speaks to me in not normal ways, which he's not normal at all. You know what I mean? So how he comes, your walk ain't mine and my walk ain't the next man, and how
exactly
I hear him might not be the way the next man to hear him. But he speaks to me through nature. He speaks to me through words. He speaks to me through different people, you know. And I've heard him once. I was in prison, and it was just a small, still voice. And it said, listen, the things I tell you are true. That's the only time I've ever, like, physically heard him. And it was like, listen, the things I tell you are true. And I was reading the Bible at that time. But a lot of my life, I felt like Paul when he said, for I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I know I should do, I don't do them. You know what I mean?
I have used that scripture, that line, so many times because it fits the battle for those who are struggling with substance use disorder, with addiction. You know, I am convinced very, very few want to use that next drug. They don't know how to stop from using that next drug. You know, I believe everything you're saying about God, but there are those who have never had the background you had with him, that seed planting, that influence around him where prayers were making a difference, and it was all babble to them. It was just foreign language that they couldn't understand when you spoke of God. But then he takes those scales off the eyes, and we see, and then we start to grow. Go ahead, share some of that growth with us here, Jay Truth.
So I remember sitting in prison this last time, and as I'm sitting in there, I've gave up everything. You know what I mean? Everything I thought I loved, I gave up just to gain everything I love, if that makes any sense. I gave up everything I thought I loved to gain everything I love.
Yes.
And I remember sitting in there, and I would do my Proverbs a day. I would do my Psalms a day. I would do my devotional. I would do my prayer time. I would read scripture. And I was just trying to draw near to God so he could draw near to me.
Amen.
I was just submitting myself to the Lord, resisting the devil so he could flee from me and draw near to God so he could draw near to you, you know. So as I'm doing this, I have a pro date come up, and I fill my paperwork out. I'm talking to my wife, my beautiful wife. There she is. Say hey, baby.
Hi.
So as I'm talking to her, and I'm like, yeah, baby, I got this parole date coming up. I think I got a good chance of coming home. I got some people going to speak for me. And so I'm feeling good about it. So as I go to the parole hearing, my case manager calls me up there, and she's like, well, baby, I'm sorry, you didn't make it. She's like, you're going to be here till 2029. To you flat time. And I'm like, what? 3,000? I thought you said I had a good chance of making it. You know, my RVRs, I had a couple nuts. And she said that's what caused me from not making it. And I'm like, it kind of hurt me. You know, it devastated me a little bit in my walk, because I was like, Lord, I gave up everything. You know what I mean? Like I gave everything up. And why would you let this happen to me? You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I talked to the preacher man in the zone, and he was like, look, son. He was like, it ain't over. He was like, well, this is what I need you to do. Double up in your prayer time. Double up in your scripture. Double up in your devotionals. Double up in your in the time that you go, because we'd have prayer call in the zone. You know, he was like, and I would lead the prayer call. And he was like, do two of them today then. Instead of one at night, do one in the morning and one at night. Double up on everything you do, double up. Just don't give in. He was like, because before a breakthrough, the storm always comes. So he basically was letting me know that the devil, right, don't want you to get that breakthrough. So he's going to try to break you down. That way you can't live in peace to get your breakthrough. You fall back into your old sinful nature, and then you might feel a couple raindrops of the blessing, but you won't actually experience the whole blessing unless you stand firm in your relationship with God. So I doubled up in everything, and I tell you what, it wasn't, I probably like 3 weeks later, the case manager called me up there. I done got with peace with my wife. She bought me clothes, socks, underwear, everything to come home. And when we found out I didn't make it, we took some of it back to Walmart so we could put time on the phone and continue to talk. Well, 3 weeks later, the case manager, she'd been calling me for about 2 days, but I was still kind of hurt, so I didn't go up there. I thought she just wanted me to sign the sign-in sheet. You know, and that's just to mark your attendance. And I'm like, I didn't sign that thing. I ain't going up there. So they called me again about that third day. And they was like, T, come up here. I go to the case manager's office, and I'm like, what's up, man? I was like, I didn't sign the sign-in sheet. I was like, what you need me here for? She was like, "Babe, I don't need you to sign no sign-in sheet. I need you to sign these papers. You go home Tuesday."
So from a matter of X more years to a matter of almost tomorrow.
Almost, sir. And I remember vividly, she said, "I don't know who you talked to or what you did." She's like, "But you going home Tuesday, baby." I said, "I ain't did nothing, but I said, I ain't talked to nobody but God, and I ain't did nothing but prayed about it." She said, "Well, you going home Tuesday."
Obviously, that was enough.
Yep. So in that situation there where I didn't give up, I stayed faithful. It has helped me so many times since I've been home. Because there have been times in this walk since I've been home where I wanted to give up. But since I have experienced that breakthrough, I know what to do now. And that's stand firm in his love, in his grace, in his promises that he's given us. And that he will not forsake us.
What are your biggest battles with life now after those years and everything? What are your biggest battles look like now, Jay?
My biggest battles, man, I'm trying to think of them.
All right. Every now and again,
temptation to try to cross my mind. But, I just take those thoughts captive and I just say, that's not me anymore. I'm a child of God. I remind myself, that's not me no longer. I am a child of God, you know, and I just, you know, some people say I'm crazy, but I would tell out loud, I would like, "I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get behind me," you know, and no matter where I'm at, whatever's going on. And, you know, some people look at you crazy if you're in Walmart, wherever you're at, and you're saying stuff, you know. But, hey, look, I don't care who look at me like nothing. What I care about is God. You know what I mean? How he
gives.
And I know this is a spiritual battle that we face, so there's nothing I can do but give it to God and let him fight it for me. And I guess what the biggest battle that I face is watching the ones that I love go through addiction and can't do nothing about it. You know, you can't want it more than they do.
No.
That's a battle for me.
We want to do it for them, yes.
Yeah,
but you know it can't be that way. It's like a baby chick. You break the egg for them to get out of it. You've just ruined them physically for life, and they're not going to make it. They've got to face that struggle, that battle, just like we do. And those struggles are meant for a reason. They're to build us up spiritually. They're to move us forward. They're to show us, I can do this by the help of God. And, you know, he's never going to miss doing his role, but he expects us to be involved enough to do ours. Yeah. Yeah. So what is it that, what's that?
Go ahead.
What is it that led you to music? Talk to us a little bit about that. You are, you're out and you're learning to live life. What led you toward Christian hip hop?
My wife. So, you know, in prison, I had a cell phone. I had access to a cell phone, and I would call my wife, and she started her walk before I started mine. I'm about a year sober, clean, ain't touched nothing. She's 3 years. I had my son in prison. She got sober in the trap house, started getting involved in the community church at our local church, moved in with some folks in the church, gave her life to God, had my son, rededicated him to the Lord. So she knew that I liked rap music. She knew I always wanted to listen to it. And so she sent me this Caleb Gordon, which is a Christian hip hop singer. She sent me his song. And as soon as I heard it, God lit a fire inside of me so strong, man, it was like, I knew without a doubt I'd been doing it all wrong. I'm like, man, how this impacted me, I want to create music to impact someone else the same way, the youth. Because these guys, the youth right now, the new generation, they're listening to hip-hop. No matter what, they're listening to this gang, money, drugs, sex, violence, shooting everything up, and they're liking it all because it's on a catchy beat and it gets their attention. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start making music for the Lord.
Change the words, change the purpose, and it'll change their plan.
Exactly. Yeah. Start winning souls that the devil stole. You know what I mean?
You got it.
I'm going to get souls back through my music, you know, and the music is just a tool so I can preach to them. You know, through my lyrics, I try to let them know that, hey, I've been there where you're going through. What you've been through, I did that and overcame it through God, and I'm doing it on a hip-hop beat so they can ride to it, vibe, that, you know, they don't have to listen to that trash no more. And whenever I'm on these events, these ministry events, you know, these concerts, I tell them all the time in the crowd, hey, look, if I get on this stage and I don't tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sins in 3 days, he rose again, then I did everything wrong. If I don't tell you that you have a purpose, that you have if I don't tell you you have a purpose and that you have use for the kingdom of multiplying it, then I did everything wrong. Because everyone on this earth has a purpose, and that's to grow, share the gospel so we could multiply the kingdom. And it's just amazing. It's amazing how God transformed my way of thinking, my speaking. And I'm not a real good communicator. I do mostly mine on music, you know what I mean, with music. That's how I try to communicate with you. But I'm getting better at it, you know. Every interview I do, every person I interact with, every event I go to, I get to speak a little more. So the Lord is opening me up a little bit more. I've been in institutions since the age of 13. So, you know, and I've been doing this for about a year.
So, you're new at this then. This is, you're still wet behind the ears.
Sir?
You're still wet behind the ears with this. Yeah. Well, yeah. The experience is going to make a difference, and your experience is already making a difference. Give us somebody right now who's in the music industry, and I'm not saying or suggesting you're worshiping anybody, but who's one of your music heroes of any genre that you'd like to be able to open for? Opening for me tonight, J Truth, who would that be? Can you say?
Who do you think?
What?
He said, who is my favorite music hero right now? If I could open up for him, who would it be? My favorite music artist right now. You know, I find that crazy because my favorite one.
Who's that?
I said, I find that crazy because my favorite one and who I would open up for, I already do music with. That's Josh Richards, Redeemed.
Yes. Man.
Yeah.
I had the blessing of meeting him back. Oh, goodness. When was it? Back in the fall, maybe early November. I don't even remember.
Yeah. I read that volume.
Well, you know, there he is.
Ernest and Redeem, Clean Slate.
Kalichi. Yeah. Be Radical and Mallory Beast. So, no.
Be all
I. We, we put them up, and they were within 3 or 4 miles of our house. We got to spend the evening with them. That was special. Now, somebody my age, I'm a little older than you and all of those guys, maybe put together, all right, if we had it all up. And I may not look like a hip-hop fan, but you guys have made me one. I'm not yet ready to do the music. I have no rhythm. That's something I wasn't even born with.
You're preaching before one of my songs. Get you on there singing.
All right. But what I respect so much with your genre of music is the closeness of the artists. You guys work with each other in a way I don't always see in other ministries. There seems to be a competition that I think just hurts our effort more than helps it. But when I see the camaraderie, the closeness of those in the hip-hop world, if it's okay to use that statement, I'm almost dumbfounded by it. Because, you know, we hooked up with Levi. That's what got us in the jails. He came along, and you know, and so we connect with you through that, and it's just kind of another link in the chain of recovery, spiritually speaking. It's another link in that chain of becoming family. I think that's all powerful stuff to be able to do that. What makes your music unique? You know, I didn't say better than or worse than anybody else, but what makes yours maybe a little different than the norm?
I don't put nothing out unless I get confirmation from God.
Go ahead and explain that, folks.
I pray before I go on YouTube or the beat place, and I'll listen to all these beats. And before I get on there, I say a prayer to God. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, I come to you in prayer. I ask that you reveal to me the beat that you want me to use that will impact other lives. I ask that when you give me this beat, also you give me the lyrics and the deliverance to be able to spread the message so people will hear it and it will deliver the message that you want to give them, not I want to give them. Remove me from the equation and let it be you that flows through me to reach them. So everything I do comes straight from God. Everything I've ever tried to do, Mr. Randy, it was a disaster. You understand that?
I do.
I let him do is a complete successful mission. And he gives me the, I guess that Southern accent, I don't know, on the beat or whatever, you know, he gives me the right cadence. He gives me the right delivery for it. And my music's a little faster. I do a little fast, so, and no, that's a little catchy also. I wouldn't say it's no different from anybody else, because everybody has their own gifts, their own talents, and anyone who's doing music right now, I listen to a lot of them, and they're all good. I've got a lot of friends in the Christian hip-hop, Christian worship, contemporary music. And every one of them is good. I don't say that I'm better than anyone, and I don't look at myself. I just look at myself as a willing vessel.
We've got to remain humble and willing to be used, serve, and take care of what we can. Let God take care of the rest.
Yeah, my pride was stripped from me in prison, you know, and I believe it was stripped from me in prison to prepare me for what I'm going through now. You know, during this last trip in prison here, I went to the organization, the gang I was in, and I told them that, hey, I'm following Christ. I'm laying my flag down. I'm getting out of it. I don't want no parts of it no more. do what we need to do. If you got to beat me up, so be it. But they didn't. They let me leave unharmed, which was very rare.
I loved, obviously, they had some respect for the decision you made.
Yes, sir.
We know there's, you know, they've got an ugly past and some dark moments, but don't we all, whether we've gotten into an organization, a gang, a church, anything else, we've all made those mistakes and hurt people who didn't deserve in any way to be hurt or turned our back, neglected someone. So what is it? What's three or four of the disciplines that you practice now that keep you in that positive place in your life?
Discipline myself with. That's, I don't call it a discipline no more, but my prayer time.
Okay.
You know, you have to stay faithful to that. Communication with the Father, you know, is the key to a lot of your walk. Being obedient, being still when he tells me to be still. My speaking, you know what I mean? Taming the tongue. We can go to James on that one. Taming the tongue. Let's see here.
No, man, that's a good list right there. We could all take that to heart, whether we've struggled with addiction or not. We've all had our struggles of some type. Listen, we're getting toward the end here, but before we do, is there anything you want to throw into the mix here, Jay, to go ahead and tell folks a word of praise or a word of warning to them or a keep in mind kind of thing?
Whether it's the 12 steps or the Bible, whatever gets you clean and sober, you have to be the one wanting to make that decision. Can't nobody make it for you. It starts with yourself. And until you're fed up, sick and tired of being sick and tired, you won't make that decision, you know. I just ask that everyone, if you have people that's in addiction or if you're going through addiction yourself, keep praying. Don't stop praying for them. Prayers work. My grandmother didn't get to see the fruit of her prayer, but it was fruitful. God hears your prayers.
A lot of us will plant the seed for that tree or that sapling, but few of us will get the chance to swing from that tree. It's that next generation, and I'm sure she had the confidence of believing, I may not see it, doesn't mean his prayer won't be answered. So, listen. Thank you so much for your time, your willingness to share your story with us. We look forward to hearing from you again. If we could ever be a part of your life or you need extra support or prayer, contact us at A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, our Faith in Your Recovery podcast. Hope to see you again where we can be involved in ministry. And we'll keep you in prayer. We'll just trust that God continues to show you the way and you continue to follow it. Be blessed and be a blessing to others. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. God bless.
God bless.